This is a production of Cornell University.
A couple of the other suggestions did get at that issue. I know that we had a couple probably a few comments specific to the vet school, just in general, but there were a couple of suggestions to better distribute the health, wellness, fitness sort of offerings, maybe smaller scale, but more more distributed across campus, especially there was some emphasis on the more outlying areas, including East Hill, and this is where with the fitness and wellness, we saw a lot of. I mean, honestly, at some point, your eyes sort of go across because this is connected, right? There's no black and white. Everything goes into this category, or this goes here and that goes there. Everything's sort of tied together, and this topic is where we saw a lot of comments tying health and well-being to parking and transportation, because you have staff members that want to get out and go somewhere during their lunch break. They want to go take a class, a fitness class at the fitness center. They're wanting to do more, get away from their desks, but the challenge is, especially for those not very close to those fitness centers, getting around campus and getting back in time. And some people reported, you know, if I wanted to do that, it would be almost 2 hours before I got back to work. And so that's where we see sort of all this, these topics intersecting.
And I would throw in there that the campus simulator, which is something that hopefully we'll be discussing in the employee assembly in the year 2020, is was designed and thought of in the master plan as a way to fill these gaps, you know, get people around campus. Because it is one of those things where the vet school employees, everything that is below the vet school is down campus. So, like, you know, Wild Hall, or even where you guys are in physical sciences. So the campus circulator is something to try to get people, you know, back and forth more quickly. So it's something that we're discussing in our employee welfare committee, which hopefully we'll get passed the resolution to then come to the floor next year.
Thank you for talking about transportation, because that is our next so as you know, as you probably in your there are a lot of parking issues, TCAT issues, transportation issues. It has been an issue for quite some time, and it continues to be an issue. Individuals have not been able to find parking. Individuals have found that it impacts not just their work, but also their wellness, being able to have those opportunities to get away from their office, and finding the adequate parking and ability to commute in time to effectively do so. Some individuals, you know, are paid by the hour, so as soon as they walk into, you know, their place of work, that's where they're getting into, you know, to receive their wage. So if they have walked commute, it really impacts their work and their salary. So I think there are a lot of issues surrounding parking and transportation. It continues to be a very big issue for us. One of the suggestions for improvement is an inter-campus transportation option. So much like what Chris said, the circulator. So as you work through your communities, you could also go back to these results and also say, other individuals have mentioned, there is a need for inter-campus transportation. Other people have indicated the need to streamline transportation. And so I think as you see through this feedback, it's helpful to drive that conversation. If you can find, you know, some things that really speak to some of the work that you're doing, and also maybe you might find that staff members don't feel the same way. So I think it's a good way to have a mirror into what staff members are feeling and what their sentiments are surrounding these issues that we're working through. I think a lot of times it's easy to say, this is my issue and this is the perspective that I have, but to have a little bit more data that's coming from a more broad community, and I think is helpful. So
full circle.
Yeah.
Because it shows that we were around 20 years ago, remember, we had CU Transit, which was a campus bus service on campus itself. They subcontracted with the county, so the county warehouse, and we had along with WT then, but we used to have our own bus service here at Cornell University. So that's interesting, that it's kind of pushed back to that way.
That is interesting.
Well, I guess one thing I can say about that is that the university and the transportation department does not want to start its own bus service again. Through the feedback from the university assembly, one of the questions was, and I think it was David brought up and said he remembered such a thing. And when Bridget Brady gave an update, it was from the transportation department to the campus planning committee, she particularly said, "Hey, you know, TCAT is really professional business people, and I doesn't want to own its own buses, but there are interesting opportunities about." Can Gadabout, which the Gadabout people are in the same building with TCAT, and they both sit on each other's boards. So that's just, it doesn't seem like we're going to have our own buses, but through our committees, we will be able to sort of craft the idea. And hopefully next year, I'll be able to give the same presentation that I gave that kind of shows where the routes are around Central Campus, out to West Campus, to East Hill Plaza, the North Campus. Where basically, like, not every building is going to get a gym on campus, but it would get people to the ones that we have that are already really top notch that would work out great.
Yeah. Some other suggestions for improvement: partner with TCAT to help solve some of these problems. Find a way to deal with temporary overflow parking for weekday events. Investigate income-based fee structures for parking tenants, and advocate for public transportation options for those living in Tioga County. So these are just some of the suggestions, and feel free to look through some of these other
we currently have here in TK, we have three members on board.
So, here we go.
So, we currently do that. We have three members on board from county, three members from the city, and three from
So, I think as we're going through some of these suggestions, I think even as I was reading through some of them, so it sounded like a lot of these do were not aware of them. So maybe we should think about how do we communicate out some of these suggestions, but also some of the existing resources that already cover this. Maybe this would be something appropriate for the next newsletter to say, we've received your feedback, and here are some suggestions, but also we already have existing resources, and this is what they are. And I think it might be helpful, not just for the people who submitted the feedback, but for anybody reading it to know. And I think it would be good time to publicize some of these resources in case people are wanting to participate. I think so, writing that up, right?
I'm sorry, I missed that part. Which resource exists?
So, Brian?
A couple of those already exist. County currently has buses that meet up with TCAT and they do an exchange. Also, the partnership with TCAT, Cornell has three members on the board already, with the county and the city. Each one has three members on the board, so we already are partnering with TCAT.
Did you hear that, Harry?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't think it would be helpful maybe in the newsletter to say, here are the three partners, formal partners with TCAT. Like, maybe that's a good place for you to provide that link for communication. So I think that's a great idea. All right. So any other work comments on transportation?
Okay. And we have,
I'm sorry. Jessica?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
We don't really have parking issues in Geneva. We have some transportation contact development. I'm
sorry, Jessica, you're breaking up. We can't hear you very well.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Can you hear me clear now?
No. Not clear. No. It's sounding verbal.
Okay.
Can you type it into the comments section and then read it out loud?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. So while Jessica types that up, the next theme is staff are creating education, development, and career growth opportunities. So individuals have mentioned that the best way to prepare is to invest in the professional growth and development of staff members. Individuals have wanted more opportunities, or maybe even a better way to publicize the existing opportunities, or even just a focus on improving the existing offerings that we have. So some of the suggestions are improvements for opportunities, more mentorship opportunities to fill in the gaps, allowing staff to participate in learning opportunities that are not necessarily job related, mandating a certain number of hours of release time to work on education and development. And I've also seen commentary that I think you'll see it later on in this presentation where individuals have said maybe we should have a budget for each department to be able to spend towards production, or maybe we should have a better platform to advertise these. But I think some of these exist in some form. Maybe it's improving on them. Maybe it's having these conversations on how we can improve on them. I think you'll see if you report that some of these items will keep popping up, not just in one area, but also in other key areas as well. Does anybody have any feedback about the education and professional development? Okay. Let me see if the chat has come through. I haven't seen anything just yet. Okay, so the next key theme in employee feedback was supervisor support is key to well-being and satisfaction. So I think as we look at work outcomes, as we look at the offerings of benefits, as we look at employee education and development, I think a back and all of that suggestions for improvement was a digital dashboard or platform to show a broad range of opportunities. I think Mary Opperman just sent out an email today through the faculty and staff newsletter talking about the restructuring of the online resources to be a little bit easier to access opportunities. So maybe talking with her about how we can sort of bring some of these things with the current changes that are underway that would be helpful. Suggestions that included educating managers so that they create, they make sure that Cornell is a place for staff members to be excited, to feel excited to work for, educating managers so they're supportive of those opportunities and providing budget support for staff members to participate in these opportunities. So, this is just some of the feedback and suggestions that we've seen throughout the feedback. Any questions on this section?
And Anne had a comment, and then I think also Jessica's comment came through.
So, you know, I mean, in my time here at EA and at Cornell, I think this is one of the most intractable problems that we have to deal with is the different application of available resources and rules by different supervisors and individuals. And I've heard this brought up in numerous, you know, different cases, like even for benefits, for release time, for all this kind of stuff. And so I think this is like something that warrants addressing. One of the at one of the conversations with Mary Opperman that I attended, I remember somebody saying maybe one of the things we could do is find incentives for supervisors to permit them or to encourage them, I would say require supervisors to, you know, to give employees the opportunities that are available to them to find the resources to do it or find some central bank of resources that can support it so that these opportunities are you know, uniformly available to staff. And I think that this is just such an important and such an ongoing and such an intractable problem. We've been talking about it for years, and there doesn't seem to be a way to get at it. I think it's just, it would be, you know, a really, I don't know, something that can be attacked from a number of different approaches. And I can't see an answer, but it's a constant problem.
We have Jessica Townley comment in the chat.
So, speaking on behalf of Geneva, we don't necessarily have parking issues, but I did see that Geneva was listed of having not adequate wellness offerings, which I was aware of, and tying that to transportation, I wanted to comment. We have been trying our best to offer some wellness fitness options, which requires us to look at places outside of Cornell. Most recently, last week, I worked with a place that offered different fitness yoga opportunities, and we actually set up a carpool system. We have designated a place on campus where the instructor has graciously offered to pick up some people and transport them to or from campus so they're able to participate in these offerings. Maybe a similar thing can be done on campus. I just wanted to offer that as a suggestion. Thank you. I will work on getting my microphone fixed. Thank you. I think that's a great idea. I think being able to have that to community policy.
One thing I want to mention is, you know, we should see this and also the staff conversations reports, which are online, this is a good opportunity to see this as another resource that, that you all have available to you. Hey, we'll be working with Linda Crawl Howell. Carrie might find some creative ways to share this information, but I encourage everybody to see this as an opportunity to dig into and find some creative ways to really dig some ideas out of it. If you see units or people that you think would find some of these information pieces or elements useful, feel free to self-start and work on some projects with those particular units. Go as you represent your constituents and maybe try to fill out more information and bring back more to fill in the blanks. But this is a great resource. And again, along with the staff conversations, we've now had 2 years of a flow of information about how the staff feel on a number of these issues. So this is intended to be kind of a mine of ideas on how we can approach these things, whether it's incentivizing supervisors to make opportunities for staff more equitable or any other number of ideas. There may be ways to do that, but the comments are great. Obviously, take everything with a grain of salt. These are limited representations, but it's a great... I found reading the actual comments to be a great way to get some inspiration and ideas. But again, this is a resource that's always available for to you, and I encourage everybody to really dive into it because in the spring, it's a good time to maybe put through some ideas and execute on some of these things. So thank you, Hey and Carrie, for all of your efforts on this. Seriously. It's a lot to go through.
Feel free to email if you have any questions, follow-up items. Feel free to review the report. It's in the box. And also, there's a physical copy.
Andrew?
Just to affirm, though, when I read through them before, what you put on box, this is not to be shared. You don't want this being shared outside. Is that what?
For now, yes. If we're finding that there is this need to maybe share with other units, maybe we'll have that conversation to see how broadly we want this disseminated. I think for now, it's just sort of for us to decompress, to read through, to understand, and then maybe create a roadmap for the plan for sort of these issues. And if it comes at a time imperative that we do share with other units, then we'll have that conversation. I think for now, the hope is just for us internally as EA members to go through this report, look through the feedback, and then try to find a way forward.
But was it shared with Linda and HR or no?
So we have not shared it with. So Mary Opperman does not have the detail.
The report, right?
So we are not right now sharing it broadly.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. Thank you all.
Okay. So we'll go into committee reports. Carrie, communications.
Alrighty. I guess final word from me on the priorities poll would be, well, if and when we do this again, I would love to set a goal for an even higher, better response. And I think that the best game plan for achieving that is to keep talking about what the respondents said was important to them and try to pull out the work that you guys are doing in your committees or that you will be doing this spring and figure out some way to just share little snapshots of progress or just things being discussed. Doesn't necessarily have to be a resolution. But so that's one of the things Adam and I have talked about for the spring is to you don't have to be perfect, but just to show progress and to show that we're working on some of these priorities, I think would be important because when people see that we're acting on it, I think that they'll be even more eager to follow up when we ask for more feedback. So I'll say that. I am finalizing our newsletter, our end of the year newsletter, which is going to include a briefer summary of the results, still a chart, but not the quotes and things.
That will be in the newsletter. And we met last week. We had a fun time reviewing suggestions from a couple of vendors for promotional items, and we settled on, drum roll, Jackie had a great idea, and we're going to do tote bags. grocery-style tote bags. And so I got back to those vendors and asked for some pricing on different options, and so we'll figure out the branding and everything. Hopefully early spring we'll have those to use for giveaways and things at our various outreach events, and you all will get one, obviously. So that's exciting. And let's see. You know, things have gotten... things have gotten away from me to some extent. Still need to follow up and get out the door with George Peter and open that up for nominations in the spring. We're not terribly far behind, but we're behind, and so I'm going to try to, like, New Year's resolution, fix that. So, that's all.
Any questions for Carrie? All right. Seeing none, Marcy isn't with us. I don't know. I don't believe that the Education Committee has met since our last meeting. So, you did. Okay. Can somebody give a quick update?
The people from CLASP came and met with us and presented. So we gave them, they're going to collect some data and come back to us in the spring. And I think that was the only topic at our meeting that week.
Okay.
So, segue to that is an article I just saw this morning about class.
Yeah.
That was posted in that. It gives a lot of details about the class program. If anybody's interested, just could read.
Yep.
What
was that
posted?
It was in the faculty and staff meeting, is where
I That's where I saw it, too. Okay, great.
Can I just quickly ask?
Please.
I'm with class, so I was part of that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I want to thank that group so much because it was really helpful to us. We relate to a lot of the things that I'm hearing as far as supervisors not feeling that they have the freedom always to give release times for the people to participate. It's really different depending on where people work,
mm-hmm.
how free the supervisor feels. So it really is a problem. Our issue is that we are recognized as being a great program, but the money doesn't follow it, and so we're always running in a deficit. So we got some super ideas of different ways to think about looking for funding. So
great.
We're going to be following up with that.
Excellent.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? If not, we'll move on to employee welfare. I see Christy's not here. Does anybody who is with employee welfare have a...
We haven't met.
Okay, that's what I was thinking of then earlier. Okay.
We have some scheduled in January.
January, yep. Okay. Anne, you want to go ahead and talk about benefits policy?
So we did meet with Alan Bishop and his... he brought a whole crew of people. He was there. Gordon Barger was there. Kim Babuka was there. Lauren Jacoby was there. They provided some updates on our inquiries over the past year. I can just give you a brief. Kimberluka provided some details on career movement stats at Cornell, and sort of like demonstrated that Cornell is within the benchmarks established by SHRM, the Society for Human Resources Management, on comparing us with national data in terms of promotion and internal movement and all this kind of stuff. I mean, I can give the details if anybody's particularly interested. We also got an update on there had been staff questions previously on the equitable hiring process when considering issues of job requirements and experience for a position. When a position is posted, you're listed as having certain minimum requirements along with added experience that combines things like you need a bachelor's degree or you need an associate's plus 5 years of experience. And concerns had been raised about whether or not somebody with a bachelor's degree was going to be preferred regardless, and the experience part was going to be sort of like brushed over in many instances, and that could also serve as a chilling effect, so that people, when they get this, just don't even bother applying if they don't have the preferred qualifications. So they also sort of debunked to a degree that question and said that, you know, they do try and be as equitable or as inclusive as possible in looking through those. And also, it was kind of surprising for me, what I learned is that it is okay for local units to list job descriptions with a basic requirement that exceeds the BAMP description or the job description at the university level. So it's okay, and that is up to each unit. And that positions don't always have to be posted and aren't always posted if there's a clear internal career progression. So some concerns about, you know, positions not being posted or people just moving without the opportunity for other applicants. But so what I understood from looking at is that there is considerable flexibility at the level of the unit to decide on their own hiring needs. There are some sort of like baseline foundational requirements, but it's all flexible. And then they provided an update on the pay time off survey that Tarek had had us all discussing last semester. Alan Bishop said that there is no current dollar figure on that. They're still working on establishing a value. What that, well, there's a cost. Obviously, there's a cost for implementing that. They're looking at the cost impact. Don't have anything to report yet. They have, it's a big task. There are many factors to consider. There is no time frame for actually providing a positive response. They'll just keep working on it. And then Gordon Barger provided an update on the CPERP 2-year wait for non-exempt employees. And at this point, they have established that in order to make this an equitable across-exempt and non-exempt benefit would cost the university around $3 million. They put a $3 million cost on this, which is about 1.5% of the total fringe budget. They're continuing to look for ways to make this equitable across the board, and options that they're considering are, so they've got a bunch of them, one of which is requiring everyone to wait, exempt and non-exempt. Another one is instituting a vesting period or having matching options, and there's all sorts of, you know, like pros and cons with each of those options. So they're looking at that. It seems to be a lot closer to actually coming up with some kind of a recommendation, and I guess there's a lot of people that have to be involved in making that decision. One of the factors considered is that turnover apparently amongst non-exempt employees is higher, and so this is kind of like a factor that they conclude allows them to sort of continue this policy. We then talked about the bereavement policy, and this was after Alan Bishop, after the HR people had at the meeting. Talked about how the family structure defined in the bereavement policy is fairly restrictive, and there may be ways that we can broaden the definition to be more inclusive so that employees can define who their family members are, who their close members are, that they need bereavement time for, as opposed to having a very defined list in the policy that excludes some people who are new families and different these days, you know, they just aren't. They aren't these boilerplate family structures that that used to be in the past. And so it's allowing flexibility, moving away from the policing of individual employees and allowing some sort of freedom to define your own family network. So we actually ran over. It was a very busy meeting and ran out of time. We didn't finish that discussion, so we don't have any recommendations. There are a lot of interesting perspectives on the board on the BPC about who feels, you know, what should be done. So this discussion still needs to be had, and we'll pick that up next time.
All right. Any questions, Fran? It was a lot. Yeah, I was going to add your notes and summaries. Are they on the box, or can we put them on the box?
Or
the
upload them onto the website, right? Or committee reports.
Yeah.
Either way. I've been just sending them out to them, you know, along with an agenda, but and then summary notes. So yeah, I can put them wherever you.
Or I can't. I mean, I think it's a great. It was a great meeting. I zoomed in. There was a lot that everybody went over. So I think everybody else would be interested in hearing. Yeah.
As an attendee at the meeting and on the committee, I thought in general that it was like a really positive meeting. Just knowing that they have heard our concerns and that they are actively working on them. And while it's not something that can be fixed overnight or in a day, like if they're all complicated processes, just knowing that it's happening, that it's on their radar, that they're working towards, you know, figuring this stuff out, was really encouraging.
This goes back for, you know, quite a while, these discussions, so it's a good, especially for newer members, they're good conversations and notes to read if we've had a long curve of conversations with HR on these, so excellent. Any other questions?
Okay.
Oh, please.
Sensitive. As you know, I'm new to the EA, but has December 24th being added to holiday break ever been discussed or brought up before? The reason I ask is because I have had many comments surrounding that this week, as employees are comparing us to Ithaca College, Hobart, William Smith, having the 24th included in winter break.
Ashley, can I volley that over to you? Because we've referred that to Ashley before.
I've had a HR reach out about that. So I get a lot of like backgrounds, not just within HR, but I reached out to like other EA members and just asked around. There is a common, it's like this unofficial rule that if Christmas Eve falls, okay, so let me back up. There's a policy out there that's covered under holiday break. I think it's 6 paid days off, and if Christmas Eve is going to fall on a Monday, they want to make sure that they are abiding by that policy of the 6 days. They also have to look at, you know, the fact of opening up campus for a day when they know a lot of staff aren't going to be here. So they also consider that, and that's when Christmas Eve is on a Monday or a Friday. If it's going to be any other day throughout the week, it's not equitable to give that to staff. Because of the lead up, right? So we have 2 days now on campus this year. People are still going to come into work for those 2 days. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is that when we're on the topic of religion, if we open this door, it's going to open up multiple other doors in other religious communities on campus because people are going to tie Christmas Eve to Christmas. And there's going to be more responses coming out. If we have, you know, this day off designated to this holiday, why can't I have my holiday off? So there's that considered. Like, it's going to open up other doors and other religious communities on campus. So it's almost like an all or nothing a little bit. And that, did I miss anything?
No. I will say that's and this is just my opinion. I mean, guaranteeing Christmas Eve as a holiday is something that gets into the very prickly thing of assigning recognition to a particular religion's day. So I think that is one of the biggest aspects of it. But do you mind? You sent a great write up to me on that. Do you mind if I share that with everybody else?
Yeah,
so I mean,
fine. I think there's more detail in there.
Yeah, there is. I actually did a lot of great background research when somebody reached out to me, I think.
Can I comment briefly?
Yeah, go ahead, Carrie.
I guess I'm trying to see the difference between starting, we start holiday break, winter break, on Christmas. So we're already using that as a bookend for winter break. and that's a religious event. So I guess I don't really understand the nuance of extending that to Christmas Eve as well.
Well, it's also taking into consideration New Year's Day. So if you're looking at New Year's Day and you're looking at 6 days out, I think Christmas always falls into that. Christmas Day always falls into that 6 day policy. But it's the day before that comes into question a lot about why can't we have that day off.
I see. Yeah, I just was questioning the religious.
Yeah, I agree with Perry. I think it's odd to, you know, or to single out that one particular day, because Christmas Day off is obviously a religious day off as well.
Well, I think it starts with a certain point in time, and then I mean, yeah, obviously it's arbitrary in that regard. But either way, there are the other points that Ashley brought up as well. But I can send all that information around via you if that's all right.
So it sounds like the 6 day policy is what you would need to address.
7 day policy, yeah.
Essentially, yeah. Essentially, yeah.
7 day policy.
Yeah.
I think 6 days is a nice break.
I'm sorry?
Because last year about vacation, holiday time, and the competitive analysis that was done last year. And that's all that data is available. But that's what Jessica is getting at, a comparison with other schools, your schools, geographically nearby schools, et cetera. Anybody's interested?
Yeah. Any other questions on this? Executive. Mm-hmm.
Hi everyone, me again. So the priorities poll results are out. If you guys have any questions about it, feel free to get in touch. If you want more information, let me know. We'll talk independently about sharing this more broadly. I think that's a good question, how we want to build partnerships and leverage the information that we have to support, you know, some of, you know, the initiatives that we want to run. How do we open up that channel of information. I want to remind you all again that February 5th, Martha Pollack will be coming. So I'm hoping at that point, as we talk through our committee reports, we'd also use some of this information that we've received to support or kind of drive those conversations to say, based on some of this feedback that we've gotten, you know, here are some things that we've worked on. I think that would be helpful. We are not going to meet for a couple of weeks. We don't have any presenters on the schedule. If you guys have any ideas for who you think would be helpful to present, whether that's somebody at FSAP to talk about mental health services, whether that is Gordon Barger, let me know, and then we can put that on the calendar and have a productive conversation about those resources. So feel free to get in touch if you have any suggestions for me, and we'll continue working with Linda Crowell Howell to see what we can do in regards to the priorities poll. And that is it for now. That's the update.
Any questions for Hey Hey? All right. Jessica, anything new in the world of elections?
There is not.
Right. We haven't had another one in the last couple weeks? No. Yeah, and this, I guess, segueing into new business, one of the things I just wanted to mention is I know a lot of people are new and will be filling out terms and running for election. So if you have questions about that, you know, we're going to be putting in place the election procedures and everything like that. But just any details about your terms and things like that in the process of elections, you can ask any of us, an exec or Jessica. We can get those questions answered, so you can be prepared. That's going to be one of the big things this spring, is a robust election. So, it's just something I wanted to bring up. With that, is there any questions, any open discussion? We're going to move into that. I will say.
One thing to bring up.
Is that Chris?
CJC, yeah, Chris. The CJC finished their first draft. From the University of Sangley on the campus code of conduct. Laura from the EA and Jen have been like fantastic employee representatives on that committee. They're probably over 40 hours each. You know, it's been a high priority for President Pollack and the Board of Trustees. So, hey Jen, if you have anything that you want to throw in on that, I'll post the link. You can find it on the University Assembly website project where they posted the draft, but. It's a major milestone because it's been in the work for a long time and there's been a huge amount of hard work and our employees are the best. So thank you so much, Laura and Jen, for your hard work because it has been like, well, they let us in the room for 3 hours and then we just like figure things out and get very nuanced. So if you got any updates, Jen, that would be really important.
I think for some as well, it has been a lot more work than I ever thought. we meet weekly. For more than 1 hour a week. We met for 3 hours last week in one day. It is a lot of work. And it's not easy. It's contentious sometimes. You have priorities and you learn a lot about this university through this work because there's faculty, there's students, there's staff, there's administration from central units and but it's been really good. I think it's slower moving than everybody hoped. Our chair is a rock star. She's a law student. She really has held us together well. But please go online and read it. It's open for public comment. And any feedback anybody has can only make it better. It's a presidential mandate that we get it done, so we're committed to putting in all these extra hours to finish it so that the university just doesn't write something and say this is what it has to be. You know, the whole shared governance piece that we all contribute to the governing of our institution. So check it out. We're sure to get a lot of feedback from the law faculty, I heard, so I'm just going to do that. But it's been great. I've learned a ton. Anybody who wants to jump on next year, feel free. It'll be written then, right? Then you don't have to worry about it.
Jen?
Yes.
This is Terry. Hi. Do you think since it's open for public comment, do you guys feel like it would be worth sending that link out with a little, you know, one paragraph summary of what's been going on to the staff in general in one of the newsletters? Or
I don't know because I'm so new at Cornell, I don't know how they solicit feedback for things. I don't know if an email goes out and says it's posted or they post it and hope nobody reads it. I don't know how that works. Chris, do you know anything from the UA or Gina probably?
Right, Chris, if you want to.
I think that the University Assembly this year is using this website project. It's like the first time we've had like a website where we post things and allow public comment. I mean, people found the smoking thing, but I think that awareness carried through our memes would definitely be appreciated. It's probably something that we at least want to coordinate between Jen and Logan, who is the chair of the committee. Just make sure that it has the right kind of preamble text to do the introduction, because things like this was our code was this way before, and some people love it and they got tattoos of it. But we changed it because no one could read it because we're all not lawyers. So I think it would be just making sure that we have the right intro. But yeah,
public comment period is?
I do not know off the top of my head, no.
I can speak to some of that. Procedurally, this is in a bit of a weird space right now because the code had to be given back to the recommendations from the CJC were sent back to the UA, and it's actually the UA that will put it out for public comment. So it's unofficially public comment because we're all going into a winter break. There'll be a robust communications about the changes so that the community has an opportunity to see it, and that'll be coordinated through the UA.
Okay.
And it's just a very first part. So the code has many parts. We really just put forward the first part. We're just getting into violations and sanctions and all of that next. But you can imagine a lot of people looking at that, but not just our committee, but other
places. Gotcha. Thank you. Okay, I'll stick a pin in it for now.
Thanks for making it.
No problem.
Any other questions on that or any other topics?
Kind of.
Jackie and then Jessica.
I just wanted to know if we had a update on the game
on the what? I'm sorry.
Gigs.
It's out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes.
Sorry.
No.
I know. I get a lot too.
Totally irrelevant. Like not really anything I do.
Yeah. Carrie, what did you say?
What was the question? What's open?
The gigs, the gig.
In Workday, there's this area where you can go and find opportunities to learn different skill sets. So these gigs.
Have you looked in your inbox and work? Because I've gotten a bunch of them. I don't know. If
yeah.
Anybody else? You can take some of mine if you want. Jessica.
Oh, so I'm somebody who likes to come back to things. So I've been wondering about, I think at some point we should come back to the essential employee question and some of the topics that you raised, Andrea, because I've been hearing a lot of talk about that.
We did have some clarity on that. And that's why we didn't pick it up again. But is there a need for additional clarity?
Are there new questions that we...
Well, I think... So I know a couple of people read the Sun article, and it talked, and I think it quoted you as bringing up the thing about should there be housing or a place for people.
Oh, they really? It was not quoted, thankfully. Oh, okay. My name on it. It was another idea because I did not put that to Cornell Sun.
I'm pretty sure it was in the Sun story. I don't think I'm making that up.
It was.
It was?
That you absolutely want free housing for all. No.
Yeah, that'll be great for my VP. Yeah.
It was basically like you just saying it has come up.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was like, what about?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, that's right, because the Sun person was here.
Yeah.
Just for verification, it gives things. They're calling it Talent Marketplace.
Yep.
Talent Marketplace. I'm looking at title. They announced it on Wednesday, actually. They sent a mass email to all the people from HR.
But to your question, Carrie, I think the fact that it's essential employees are up to departments, I think that's important to remind people. But also, what you pointed out about how it's on campus, but if you're like you work off campus and you have those, I forget what you call them, but you have a team who does emergency response or something for communications. And so that was slightly different nuance than just essential employee, which I've always been led to believe is if you don't know, you're not one. So I think that's something to communicate more.
So my thinking was, since we're coming up against winter break and the university will be closed anyway, I think that would be a good, at least a social place, if not maybe for January, often in some newsletter.
Yeah,
with that, I think there's, so the essential staff thing, I think originally in my mind, those documents helped a lot.
Yeah.
But there are people that are, I guess, technically essential staff, and then there are others of us who, there's just a big bunch of people that can technically do their work from home.
Right.
And some of us are on call or high priority stuff that may pop up even while the university is closed. So teasing that out, and you know, if you can technically work from home but none of that is high priority or emergency, just understanding what the expectations are, I think, is helpful.
Yeah.
Rand?
So as someone, I'm the emergency coordinator for dining services, which we are considered an essential service provider, but essential doesn't mean required. So we don't require a staff member to come in to work in the event of an emergency. But we do provide opportunities for those that are here in the event they're here while an emergency situation happens when it comes to snow and storms of that nature, to provide them with housing in the event they were here. They knew they had to come in, there was going to be a storm or an essential, so we try to coordinate, if possible, a place for staff to be able to stay over for those that are looking for that. And it's, you know, it's at a cost of dining, but it's because we know that one, we have essential employees but are not required to come in. And if they know there's a big storm, they, you know, we do get a lot of calls. It's just going to happen. But we have to work to manage that. So the word essential is one of those words that doesn't mean you have to be here, but it means that you are necessary. We are necessary. Cornell Dining is necessary because the students can't leave if classes get canceled. Where do they go? To the dining halls.
Mm-hmm.
So these services operate on the same premise almost. I mean, they provide housing, like in cases of storms, for those that come in.
Mm-hmm.
They open up the hotel, university hotel. What's it called?
South.
No, the one up at East Hill. We use it. That's mentioned multiple times. And are they required? All my staff are essential employees. That last snowstorm, it was me and four others. So no, they're not required. They don't help guys if not coming in. But we try to get as many in as we can because without us, we wouldn't be able to open the place.
Andrew.
Yeah, it's this last conversation. Brandon, you weren't there. You weren't here, Brian. The other person, Tony, wasn't here as well. And so it's like all of the folks who know more about essential employees and the rest of us, you guys weren't here. And so when we were talking about it, I think the Best Western has really taken on a lot of our grounds workers. I don't think they've housed custodians, though.
Yes, they have. They've opened up for us a couple times when we had snow emergencies. And I've actually had some staff that stayed there.
That's not clear. And that's what I had stated. And I had no idea that it was quoted on the Cornell Times.
Not required to provide them with housing. We do it
as a
we know you're here, and if we give you housing, you're going to work tomorrow morning when somebody else is going to show up.
Exactly.
So we do it at our cost because of the services provided required.
Well, it's not clear to all of our custodians because our custodian had said, you know, that that was his suggestion. There should be housing that Cornell provides.
Carrie, maybe there's opportunity to get some of this out. And then, I mean, it seems like from a staff-centered newsletter, you know, it would be picked up on more.
I would be happy to help.
This could be a good article.
Yeah, if there was something, you know, it sounds like it's handled specifically, and so I don't want to go say more than, and I don't want to say more than we should, but if the people in those units that have that option of staying over if it's unsafe to get home or staying so they can work the next day, if the people in those units don't all know that they can do that, I mean, it's important to make sure people aren't taking an unnecessary risk, so and if other staff are, you know, stuck on campus, is there a number to call? Is there anything that they can do? You know, even if they're not considered one of those staff groups or, you know, essential functions, is there something that can be done to keep them from having to drive in a dangerous condition?
Well, and as a matter of law, if highways are closed, that takes primacy over anything else because you'd be in violation of state law. Local roads, okay.
If there's anything that we can do or share or contact information, then I'd be happy to talk about that.
Let's, keep that conversation going as maybe a good project, especially as we get into January, which will be an always fun winter month. But I just want to say, as we close out the meeting, thank you all this semester so far for your incredible work. I hope everybody has a relaxing and happy holiday, and I look forward to seeing you all back here in January. But just enjoy your holiday, and thank you once again. So, and with that, I would like to entertain a motion to adjourn. Hey, yep. Say goodbye, Rigel, or adjourn.
Bye.
See you, Carrie. Yeah, it was a light quote.
Sorry.
I didn't even know about that.
Good.
I didn't see the results of that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. This is why I'm coming to you.
Yeah, they got me.
They got me in a couple of
I do campus-wide recognition. My daily job.
We should do this because of X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D, F, G, so, and then I brought up the thing about diversity
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.